ABC Radio Australia.
If you were with us earlier, we were talking about the upcoming elections there in Solomon Islands, so let's switch our attention back to that. In little under a month's time, Solomon Islanders will head to the polls to cast their votes to elect their members of parliament. In the lead up to the April 17 vote, campaigning has been in overdrive.
I want to hear you say, for change, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. United.
For change.
United.
For change.
And last time, United.
There have been calls for a change of government, but it will be an uphill battle with Manase Songovare's Our Party holding 36 of the country's 52 MPs in the last parliament. Whether or not MPs will make it back into parliament comes down to how voters cast their ballots on election day. One person who's been an avid watcher of Solomon Islands' voting behaviour is researcher Dr. Terence Wood from the Australian National University. With that, I say good morning, Terence.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning. If we head to Solomon Islands and what is happening with the elections, how long, firstly, have you actually been researching Solomon Islands elections?
I started studying them in 2010, so it's been a while now.
Yeah. And what makes April's election possibly different from what you've seen in the past?
Well, I guess the main thing that makes it potentially different is the new Cold War in the Pacific and the degree of international interest in what's going on. Obviously, we've got both China and Australia watching the election and its outcomes very keenly and eager to see what is going to happen.
Well, let's talk voter turnout. Are Solomon Islanders keen to participate in elections? I mean, what do past data tell us?
Yes, in the last two elections, in which we had reasonably accurate electoral rolls, the turnout was over 85%. So voting isn't compulsory in Solomon Islands, yet people vote in high numbers. They vote enthusiastically. And the reason why they do that is because if they don't vote for a particular candidate, that candidate won't help them after the election.
Terence, can I ask then, because it's not compulsory, do you think it should be then made compulsory?
Not in Solomon's, no. I mean, the turnout's already 85%, so they really don't have a problem with low turnout.
All right. So over the past month, I know there's been buzz of activity of political parties holding big launches and events. We had Manase Songovare's Our Party travelling across the country holding events in Malaita and the Western Province. And then you've got United Party and the Kia Coalition. They've been doing the same. But do Solomon Islanders vote along party lines?
The short answer to that question is no. Voters don't really vote along party lines at all. But almost all voters choose who to vote for based on local interests. So they vote for the MP they think will be most likely to provide them, their family or their community with direct material support. And we've seen Songovare in the past try and campaign for his party around the country, and that hasn't been particularly successful in having his candidates elected.
Thank you for that. If you've just tuned into Pacific Beat, we're speaking to researcher Dr. Terence Wood from the Australian National University on the voting behaviour of Solomon Islanders as we near the election day of April 17th. What's the turnover rate, though, for MPs? I know in the last election, 2019, can we know how many MPs made it back into office?
So once upon a time, the turnover rate was about 50%. These days, though, in the last two elections, nearly three quarters of MPs who defended their seats were re-elected in the elections. So, it was probably reasonable to expect. I'm a little torn as to what to expect in this election, but I suspect a reasonable share of the current parliament will be sitting in parliament again after this election.
I'd like to switch to the fact that even with the 19 women who contesting this year's national election, because in the previous elections, what have been voters' attitudes towards women?
It's really, really tough for women candidates in Solomon Islands, and it's not necessarily a question of voter attitudes so much as that it's harder for women to get access to the sorts of money that you need to campaign successfully in elections in Solomon Islands. And it's also harder for women to get access to influential local supporters, which is another essential ingredient if you want to be a successful candidate. So just like Papua New Guinea, throughout the Western Pacific, it's a hard place for women to get elected.
And based then on past behaviour, Terence, how do we expect voters to cast their votes come April 17th?
Well, that's a good question. It's an interesting one. I mean, we are seeing a stronger party presence this time round. And as you said, we've got Manasa Sogavare out and campaigning for his party around the country, also Peter Kenilorea Jr. And it's possible that voters might vote on along party lines a little bit more in this election, perhaps in parts of Malaita and perhaps in parts of Honiara. There will be some backlash against Sogavare and his Our Party, but I think that in general people will vote the same way in this election, so vote in search of candidates who they think are likely to help them, their family or their community if those candidates are elected, and not really consider parties or national issues in this election. I don't think things will change that much.
But Terence, if there is the likelihood of things to change, what are the priorities that you think Solomon Islands are looking for, looking towards?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, if things change, and remember I said that I don't think things will change that much, perhaps there could be a bit of a backlash against Sogavare for moving, changing allegiance and becoming an ally of China. Possibly in some parts of Honiara, maybe people would reward him for the success of the Pacific Games. Those sorts of things could influence people, but I don't think, certainly particularly outside of Honiara and outside of some parts of Malaita, I don't think they're going to have much of an influence. For the average person in Solomon Islands, international issues in particular don't have an impact on their lives. So why would that change the way that they vote?